Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to introduce you to the Union GK Premium. With Premium, you'll get vetted pro players and coaches, interactive breakdown sessions, and exclusive content from top names. Want to try it free for 30 days? Go to unionsports.com/content/join or download the app free at the Union GK on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Maggett, live from Hollywood, California. With me momentarily will be 99 World Cup winner Saskia Weber. But joining me today, right now, before Saskia comes on, and also our special guest for today, we have E-Town, Elizabethtown head coach Amy Hoff, who's also quite involved with one-on-one soccer, which we all know is with Todd Hofford. So what's up, Amy? Thanks for doing this.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
I mean, we're really excited to have you on here, first off, because one of the things is, Asya, first off, thanks for being a member of the Union. That's really awesome. We're really excited to have one-on-one soccer involved with all of that and all the really cool things that we're going to be talking about here today. But why don't you kind of catch up maybe for some of the audience members that don't know? They're like, why are you just having some head coach from some college team on the podcast when it's about goalkeeping? But obviously, you've got a huge, huge background in goalkeeping.
Yeah. So first off, I am a goalkeeper, so I guess we'll start there. But mainly, this is really fun because the Union kind of has had Todd Hofford on the app, and I know that he's been on your podcast as well. Todd has been my goalkeeping coach my entire life, so that's probably the first way that I got looped into all of this.
What? Your whole life?
Yeah. Yeah. So Todd and I were actually just catching up this morning. We're celebrating year 30. I should say he's celebrating year 30 at one-on-one soccer, one-on-one goalkeeping now, if we can talk about the evolution of this. And I have been around in some capacity for probably all but like 3 years of that.
Starting
at like the age of, I think, 7 or 8 is when I first showed up to one-on-one, and as a tiny little goalkeeper on the fields of Garden Spot High School in Lancaster County.
Wait a second. For a second, I thought you were going to say, around 7 or 8, that's when I first started running my first sessions. It was around 7 or 8.
Like,
wow, very advanced goalkeeper right there.
No, definitely not. But it's actually kind of cool because that was a day camp. So I showed up and did this day camp with Todd. And the next year, I actually went to one of his residentials, which ironically, it was at Moravian College at the time, now Moravian University, which is one of E-Town's conference opponents. So I get to go back there quite often. And ever since that time at Moravian, I've gone to almost every single camp that he's been at since. Every year, it was part of my normal summer. I did all of his winter academies. And once I graduated high school, I was able to come on as kind of a counselor and be a liaison, a demonstrator, the guinea pig of all the exercises for many years. And once I graduated and became a college coach, I was added to the staff. And I mean, I think I've served in every capacity you could possibly have with one-on-one soccer at this point, except for owner, director, all that good stuff.
So what is your actual title with one-on-one soccer? Because I was trying to figure that out. I was like, co-director, like tech guru. What exactly is it?
Yes. all of that, I think. I don't think there's necessarily just that one title. I mean, I've had it all from camper to counselor to, I've been the assistant director when Todd was with the Red Bulls and Real. When he was obviously in the MLS season in the summer, he might be able to pop out for a night or two if we were lucky. But I'd be actually the on-site director of each of the camps as well when we traveled around the country.
That's so cool. Cause like, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, one of the things that's so beneficial, and we talk about this on the show all the time consistently, is having that goalkeeping community. And it sounds like you've had this goalkeeping community, you know, in the Pennsylvania area, and then that expanded beyond from that, you know, from a young age. You know, do you feel kind of like that that's benefited you in regards to not only like your playing career, but your coaching career?
Oh my goodness. So the staff that Todd had when I was growing up, they were all college coaches. And I mean, it was incredible to see just the breadth of like who was working with the goalkeepers. And actually, when I was probably 10 years old is when I first met my college coach, Paul Royal at LaSalle. I met him at Todd's camp because of who Paul was at the camps. And when he got his first head coaching job at LaSalle, I wanted to check out LaSalle University. And we had already had that relationship. So like, I totally credit Todd with one of the reasons that I was able to play Division I soccer, not only because he trained me and was able to give me the skills and resources there, but he introduced me to the person that was going to be my college head coach for 4 years. And then ultimately it was the person that hired me to become a college coach.
So, you know, one of the things that you were just saying right there, obviously, is that you had that familiarity once you got to the collegiate game. Obviously, a lot of young players, you know, they come from a club environment. They go to college. It's a completely different foreign system. They don't know the coach. They don't know the players and everything. It just sounds like, you know, it sounds like you were Pennsylvania goalkeeping like through and through type of a thing. Was that difficult though for you when you left college and tried to move on to that next level?
Well, I think it was great because goalkeeping, especially in college coaching, it's such a specialized thing that every coaching staff in the country is looking for a really qualified goalkeeping coach. So the ability for me to be a goalkeeper coming out of college, like looking to get into college coaching, I was able to, I mean, luckily get my first job at my alma mater because they needed a second assistant at the time. But then even like move on after it to be able to get my next opportunity as an assistant coach at Lehigh in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, to be able to go from there because you have that background in goalkeeping. And I think from there, because you see everything from the position, you just kind of build and start to get that familiarity of how do you coach the other positions? How do you coach the field players and that team thought process? And then boom, here I am. My next stop was E-Town as a head coach.
So now let me ask you about that though, because like the thing is that there's a lot of goalkeeper coaches out there who don't aspire to be head coaches. And a lot of colleges kind of get upset about that. They're like, well, why would we bring in an assistant here if they don't aspire to be an outfield coach in any way whatsoever? Do you believe that goalkeeper coaches should aspire to be head coaches?
I think that's going to depend on...
That's okay.
I think my internet decided to go. But I think that depends on each person and what their aspirations are. And honestly, like how each college program is set up, like not every college program in the country has full-time assistants that they're paying this unbelievable like salary to. So, I mean, you might have a goalkeeping coach that is from an area that has a stable job in an area that wants to work with collegiate goalkeepers, but is a part-time assistant with a college program. Like that person may aspire to be a head coach, but they also might aspire just to keep it exactly how it is. I think that's unique to each person. And I don't think that we should be judging a coach whether or not they aspire to be a head coach or not.
So do you work with the goalkeepers or do you have a goalkeeper assistant that assists you at E-Town?
I think it's really important for me to also have an assistant coach as a goalkeeper. So I'm really fortunate that I have an assistant that was a goalkeeper in college as well, that has been actually at the program longer than I have. So I kept her on staff from the prior staff. And I mean, she's been fantastic for me. And obviously she does have a full-time job. Like that's how we are currently staffed. So she's there as many times a week as she can be, but it fills my heart because it allows me to be able to go and work with our goalkeepers if she's not there for a regular basis, or maybe even in the spring, because sometimes our practice times are a little bit different in the spring.
Todd Hoffer just came in the comments right over there. Todd, if you want to join us, you have the link. Feel free to come in and just, you know, talk about how wonderful Amy is. Otherwise, we'll just have to just assume that that's what you would say. I want to ask you this, Amy, because like, you know, before Saskia comes on here, obviously, you know, she was part of the WUSA, you know, in the early 2000s. And then unfortunately, the league went defunct and there was kind of a little bit of a gap. do you feel like your generation was lost?
Oh man. So that is such a tough question because, like, first off, like, I am such a fangirl of the 99 like World Cup team. That was such a awesome thing. Actually, 4th of July yesterday, I definitely rocked my 99 World Cup kit.
What?
So that's a fun fact. Yeah, pulled that out of the drawer, found it. My parents moved and it definitely came out, still fits. Love it. But so I rocked that yesterday, but I went to a lot of WUSA games when I was a kid. The Philadelphia Charge was around. And actually, like, you would have talked about that connection. Paul Royal was the goalkeeping coach. My college coach was the goalkeeping coach for the Philadelphia Charge. And it's super – yeah, thanks, Todd. It is really interesting because as I was graduating college is when the WPS came back. So it was very interesting in those years of us not having that professional league. Do I think my generation was lost? There's a lot of great goalkeepers and players that were in my generation that like decided, hey, we're going to go get other jobs in that time. But I mean, it's part of the evolution of soccer in our country, isn't it? It doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, I think we got the NWSL is doing a great thing now. They have some great momentum, I think is the right word there. They have good momentum. There's a lot of huge fan base. And man, I am so excited to watch the World Cup this summer. I really, really am hoping that we can bring home another championship.
I mean, look, I think, you know, one of the really interesting things that you just said right there is like, was my generation lost? Well, I mean, Todd could argue on the same thing, but it was his generation lost on the men's side because there was no men's professional league at the time, you know, when he was, I mean, there was a professionalism as there were the same exact way as there was a women's professional league, you know, when you were coming up time of a thing, you know, and I would call that more, not to be derogatory, but more semi-professional rather than a first division type of a thing. And it seems like, you know, a lot of the young players nowadays, I think they need to hear from people like yourself and go, hey, it wasn't always like this. I mean, Suski always tries to bring this up in regards to like how fortunate she was to be a 99er and how fortunate she was to be able to play overseas when there wasn't a league and all those sorts of things because most people didn't have those opportunities. And I think a lot of the young players coming up, I'm sure, you know, you talk to them at camp and all that. I don't want to say they take it for granted, but like they just don't know any different.
Well, I think the entire like club landscape right now is so different than even when I was growing up. And I mean, the opportunities that are available to them at this age, like of being like 10, 11, high school age, are just vastly different than what we had. I mean, I think about when I was growing up, when I was in high school, I had the choice to drive an hour and a half in one direction or an hour and a half in another to find like a legitimate premier like level club. Whereas now from that same location that I grew up, I could throw a stone and I could hit three clubs within half an hour of the house. I mean, that is just such a different soccer landscape. And therefore are the opportunities greater? Potentially. Like, I mean, there's definitely a lot more opportunities for people to play at a high level and get quality and pretty good coaching.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, that's the thing is that obviously the more and more people that are exposed at a higher level, the better the coaching is going to be. The players that are coming up are going to be better players because of that. And that's just going to kind of feed through here. And I don't know why a spam call just came through. I don't know if you heard that right now. I've turned off my Bluetooth. I don't know why this is doing this again here. It's very, very annoying. Anyway, moving on. I'm not sure where Suski is at right now, but the last thing I kind of want to talk about before we kind of get into the topic here is, you know, now you've gotten into the head coaching thing, but you're still helping out with the goalkeeper, you know, camps during the summer. How do you do that? Because as we talk about this topic in regards to like, you know, preparing for camp, how do you prepare for a camp when you've got your own camps and you've got your own team to worry about? So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. We're in the summer.
Sorry, so I've been sitting here listening to you guys. I've been sitting here listening to you guys. Mike's like, "Where's Saski?" I'm like, "I'm right here."
Oh my god, that's hilarious! I can see. So, wait, so you heard all?
I heard it. I've been sitting here like, "Hello."
Oh my god.
Hey, Amy, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh my gosh,
I'm doing well.
We were just talking, Suski, you know, before you came on, we were talking about, Amy was talking about how she was wearing her 99 shirt yesterday during the 4th of July.
I love it. Throwback. Which one?
Oh, I had a Mia shirt, of course.
Oh, okay. It wasn't a Weber. They didn't have them back. They didn't have them back then, so it's all right. I forgive you.
That's all right. I was telling Michael how that was like. I can still remember every detail of that. I mean, obviously, like your hair. I really wanted to copy your hair as best I could, but I remember every single detail of that.
The hair, I know, right? And so funny because, like, when McKinney did it in the Men's World Cup and everything, there were all these comparisons. They're like, yeah, no. that was epic undertaking before every game. Trust me. There's stories about almost asphyxiating ourselves. So the spray paint.
Oh my God. So question for you, Amy, you know, as we're going to talk, you know, transition to this topic about camp preparation. I think this is such a really good topic for so many people out there who are not only dealing this as a coach, but also as a parent and a player too. First off, bring your ball, everybody, please. Please bring your ball. There's nothing worse than having to chase down balls or the kids, you know, and we'll talk about that, but like, let's kind of talk about again, you know, you've got the head coaching responsibilities at the college, and then you're helping out with the goalkeeper camp. So how do you manage that time and make sure that you're successful on both sides?
Well, I think it's exactly that. It's really good time management. It's making sure that the priorities are where they need to be. Like obviously with recruiting and everything that comes first, but then in my spare time, trying to help Todd as much as I can to get things off the ground. Todd, that might take a lot more time than any of us want.
Recreating the hair or what?
Yes. I think it's really making sure that our priorities are where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, Saskia, I think that's one thing that I always notice a lot of times with coaches, you know, during the summertime who work at a college. And they're trying to do camps and clinics on the outside and everything like that. And they're like, they're running from one practice to their club practice to the camp clinic and yada, yada, yada. And because of that, you know, each one is suffering because they're not getting their full attention.
No, absolutely. And I think that, you know, in this day and age, and campers are looking for that individual connection. They're looking, you know, to see those head coaches. Trust me, I've done camps for people that the head coach never even showed up, or came by, you know, while we were running the camps and stuff like that and said hi. And I'm just like, part of this experience, especially when you're going to like a major college camp, is that you want that coach to see your kid. And so you have to be present for it. You can't put yourself too thin, because if you do, they're not getting the experience. They're not getting the quality. And like, I'm always like, it's not about quantity. It is, it's a money thing. I get it, but it's not, how much is the quantity? You got one goalkeeper coach and 30 goalkeepers. What's getting done? It doesn't work.
Yeah. You know, now, Amy, obviously, you know, you as a head coach right now, you know, that's a difficult thing for you because you've got to be monitoring the entire, you know, program. At the same time, I'm sure, you know, and obviously, and Saskia, you know, Amy does have a goalkeeper coach working with her, because who can be a head coach and a goalkeeper coach at the same time?
No, but assistants are great for that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You utilize your student athletes.
But the thing is that, like, you know, how do people get like, okay, well, if I'm at this camp and I'm being evaluated at an ID camp for Amy to look at me potentially to come and play, you know, at her university, and I'm working with so-and-so and she never sees me, well, I'm not going to feel like I'm really wanted at the program, right?
Oh, that's 100% true. And I mean, I think that's where you kind of are able to differentiate between something that is like an ID camp, like, and all of us work those throughout the course this summer for recruitment, but also our own as well, versus something like what one-on-one goalkeeping is, that we're really in the goalkeeper development business. So like, this is something that's really, I'm passionate about, because you want to see that next level of goalkeeper coming up. And like, Todd does an amazing job of having a staff that is like, very one-on-one, like hence the name, right? Like it's really low numbers to like coaches to players, but I get to actually be there and be part of that. And it's great because from a recruitment perspective, yep, there's female goalkeepers there. Yep, there are some that are high school age, but that's not solely the purpose of this. Like, people aren't showing up there saying, oh my gosh, I'm getting recruited exactly today. It's I'm showing up. I want to develop. And you know what? Todd is a great resource. The staff is a great resource. They have the connection to put me in touch because, I mean, Todd gets tons of calls from college coaches, like his network of friends that is just like, hey, do you have a goalkeeper that's for this class? I mean, I know I've done it already. I've called them.
I mean, I get calls still about goalkeepers, like, you know, gotten calls from Princeton, from Rutgers, from everything, because they know that I've worked camps with these keepers, even though I'm not, you know, coaching anymore. And I've seen them develop over since they were kids coming, whether it's to UCLA camps or whatever it was. And like, yeah, like.
So question for you, Amy. So, you know, kind of, you know, this topic is so, it sounds so general to people. So maybe for like some people out there, like maybe parents out there who don't know what kind of we mean by preparation, like what are kind of some of the areas of preparation you really need to focus on?
Yeah, I think it's great. Todd actually sent this out to the camp the other day, as far as it's not just about, yes, bring your ball. But he sent this out that we really want to make sure that you're training, that you're playing in games, so that it's not like camp is that first thing that's like you're going to catch a ball for the first time in months. Making sure that you're actually a student of the game and a student of the position, that you're watching soccer, whether that's on TV, whether that's YouTube, whether that's getting out to local college games, whether it's going and watching like an older team in your club and watching what their goalkeepers do. But you want to go watch the goalkeeper. Watch what they're doing in their warmups. Watch what they're doing in the game. Are they communicating? I mean, I think that that's a whole different podcast topic of like goalkeeping versus shot stopping.
we can get into that.
But I think for us, it's really making sure that you're not just showing up at camp and thinking that this is going to be like the end all be all. Like, you've got to make sure that you are studying and preparing in that way. And then, my goodness, check your email, please. Constantly check your email for ways that you're going to get prepared, whether it's a packing list, whether it's like what dorm are we going to be in, all of that good stuff. It's a great way to get prepared for camp.
I think for me, I think one of the things, it was a hard lesson, you know, I jumped right into like the upper echelon of college coaching after taking a hiatus. And I think I was surprised. It's really kind of understand for the parents out there, the level you're sending your kid into. Because when I did my very first ID camp, I was like, okay, this is an ID camp. Like this, you know, there are other college coaches maybe coming to watch the scrimmages, stuff like that. So this is like the upper echelon. And we had parents that sent kids and that had never played goalkeeper before. And we're like, I want to be a goalkeeper. That's not the right camp to send your kid to, you know, research it and say, okay, well, they're having not an ID camp, but like, you know, whether it's a beginner's camp or something like that, because now all of a sudden you have kids that they're totally out of place, and it makes that campus experience really tough.
And also it also makes it difficult in regards to like justifying it for the people that did come for the elite reasons. And you know, and I'm not saying that you can't learn in an environment where there's players that are not at your level, but Amy, it's really tough for a player to kind of see where they stand when they're not in an environment that's challenging them, because you have to, quote unquote, you know, facilitate it so that everyone is benefiting from it.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing of really making sure, like when you're signing up for a camp, like understanding, yes, is it a instructional camp for development or is it a identification camp? And then if it is an instructional camp, well, how am I going to get challenged during that camp? Like, is it the right level? Am I a beginner? Do I just need like the basics? Is it going to be all ranges? Well, then it's understanding, well, how do they handle that situation? Because I don't, and again, you got to come with an open mind, because every family is going to truly believe that their goalkeeper is the next best thing, right? It's the next national team player. But I think we have to come with self-awareness and an open mind, ready to learn and receive critical feedback, and both critical and important feedback, but also critical in helping getting you, like making you better. But so when you do that, like one of the things that I know, I think I sent this over, is what we do, I think, a great job of is we have all of our goalkeepers on the turf. Like there are, I want to say 10 to 12 goals, maybe even more than that on a turf, that they're all out there together. They're doing similar drills, and we're able to kind of evaluate and kind of move left, move right, to make sure that our training pods are right in terms of, is it going to be a challenging level? Is it the right level? Are they all going to be on the same thing? And I mean, it is a party out there on this turf. This is from last year. This video is from last year. Like Todd had invested in a speaker, so it is music bumping, so that this is just the warm up part of it. Like we're getting after it, and I mean, they're having a ton of fun while they're out there every single day. And I mean, that's one thing that we learned. And I know Camp Shutout is going to be going on about a week after us out in the Wisconsin area. But one of the big things that Todd learned from Stan in his time out there was making sure that nobody can like be down if there's music bumping. Everybody puts a smile on their face almost instantly. So trying to have that type of environment as well.
I mean, I still have Dave Matthews in my head after Saskia brought it up last week on the podcast.
No, but it's true. We used to do the same thing at UCLA. As soon as you show up, there's music playing and everything. It just raises that level. And because it's got to be enjoyable as well,
Yeah, you know, and so it's interesting, Amy, because obviously this is simple activation that's going on right here. But I don't know about you, but I can tell within 30 seconds of just activation activities what groups I'm going to put these kids in.
And it's important because, again, it goes back to that preparation and understanding your level. Like, are you able to strike a solid volley? Because, you know, with that many goalkeepers, you are going to be training each other. And that person across from you is there to get trained. And so if you are not at the level where you can consistently do certain things, and maybe certain levels of camps aren't for you, you know, because you are going to end up getting, you will get put into a pod, you know, you'll get put into different age. And I think the hardest thing I found was when you have all different age groups and you do have somebody that came to the wrong level of the camp, they're like, let's say they're 14 or 15, and they're just not at the level of the other 14 and 15 year olds, then you have to put them with a younger group. And that mentally is hard for a goalkeeper as well to deal with.
Absolutely. And I think that's, Todd and I were actually having this conversation this morning of really making sure that part of our expectations for the camp and going in, and like we do a pre-camp Zoom, it's like a classroom session that not only goes through like the little nuts and bolts of like registration, all that, but even like expectations throughout the camp. And I mean, this goes into life beyond just camp, but even with your club and with your college, of being able to ask, like, so if you do like get like move left or move right in this situation, go and ask, like have a conversation with your staff member or Todd or I to be able to say, hey, what are the things that maybe you saw that had me move left or move right? And all of a sudden we can have those conversations of, yeah, we want to see this. And instead of that mental, like, oh my gosh, I moved down. And that's one of the things, like, we don't want to use those. We don't want to use a move up or move down. But mentally as a goalkeeper, like you're just kind of like, ooh. And your head kind of can go down, but then you also get to see that fight and that mental toughness, which I saw in the B reel before we got on here this morning, that mental toughness, how do we fight back?
By the way, I'm just going to bring this up right now for any young players out there listening. If you're old enough to have a cell phone and talk to your friends on the phone, you're old enough to talk to your coaches, to communicate with them. You don't need your parents to call camp and ask why you're in group blah, 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 because you play for ECNL flight, blah, 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 and you should be with blah, 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 because that's not going to help your development. Because honestly, Amy, I mean, you could have a player who's playing at, for a lack of a better term, a lower tier club, who's in a different group than somebody who plays at a higher tier club, because it's all about their personal development, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's true of not only this camp, I think that's true of college. Like, I mean, you can have someone that maybe didn't play in the ECNL or the academy or something like that. And I mean, that wasn't their path. They picked a different path and they are just as good, if not better, that they might be the person that is that starting goalkeeper. So I think Absolutely. It's all about who you are and how you show up every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to throw this up right here. Going back over the history here. So you had this here, blah, blah, blah. There we go. Okay. So this is the Zoom that, and first off, this is amazing, Amy. Honestly, this is really, really awesome. I think more camps, Suski, I don't know if you agree with me, should do this type of thing, these online orientations before that the kids even step foot. So it's not a, just a first day, like, oh, deer in the headlights type of thing.
No, absolutely. The parents should come with a plan, you know, from even where to park. Let's go as simple as that to drop them off and what they need to, you know, to the kids understanding the expectations. It's not just, you know, here's my kid, good luck, and I'm going to Italy.
which a lot of times that's what it is and it's yes. It's very unfortunate.
and then the kid's not prepared and the player's not prepared, whether it comes from equipment to expectations to everything. They're just a deer in headlights, and you don't want that.
Amy, I love the fact that in this Zoom call, the first thing you bring up is the philosophy and methodology for the camp. I think that is so massive that players know going in, this is what's expected of them.
Yeah, that is one thing that, and honestly, that's not something that's new to one-on-one this year or last year. Like, obviously the Zoom thing came out of COVID, that we were able to kind of just have these on, like we were introduced to Zoom during COVID. But I think that has been something that has been the basis of Todd's camp, even from when I was a camper. It is just, this is what sets one-on-one goalkeeping apart from your Joe Schmo goalkeeping camp down the street, that maybe like it's all about, like, I mean, and then we'll get into like the staff, like all of us have done it. We've all bought into it, like either because we were a camper, because it's just that loyalty of friendship and growing together. But I mean, all of us are there, and you're kind of showing the same things.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you're not only just doing the introductions, the expectations, but you're structuring how you'll put the group players in each program. So it's not a surprise. So now there's no talking back, you know, what do you mean I'm not with my friend on, you know, on Tuesday, because, you know, we came together, and especially with the younger ones, I know that's a big, big deal.
Yeah. And I mean, you want to keep people, like, obviously, like, a lot of times they are going to be at somewhat similar levels, so you want people to have that rapport with others. But I mean, it's a goalkeeping union. And that's really one of the things that I know that all of us in our lives, like, we get by with the support of other goalkeepers. It's not just your friend. You make friends at camp. Like, some of my best friends, like in my high school and college years, were people that showed up at this camp simply because they knew what we were going through, and you went through the same thing together.
So, you know, yeah, I love what you just said right there. And I think it's so important for young players, Saskia, to open up their eyes and make new friends in the goalkeeping union at camp, and not just stay in cliques the whole time, you know, because that can get toxic.
Well, and also because, again, step out back into the real world. You know, if you are developing faster than your group, your friends, your clique, are you going to have the confidence to move on to another team? And, you know, and move up a level if your friends stay behind. And, you know, going to camps, it's great. Yes, you're meeting other people, you're seeing other levels out there, and realizing the bigger picture, in a sense, than just insular in your little group. Because you've seen that so many times, that kids don't want to leave their club, they don't want to leave their teams, they don't want to leave AYSO, you know, and that's okay as well. But at least it gives you a vision. Like, because now you're out in the world, that you're at camp, and there are kids from all over, and you can see what else is out there.
So this is actually bringing up a conversation that doesn't have to do with camp, but I think it's important to have this, Amy, is that, you know, I don't want to leave my club. You know, a lot of times it's the players don't want you to leave the club. The coach is putting pressure on you not to leave the club because they're not looking out for the good of the development of that player to move to the level that's appropriate for their development. They're looking selfishly at winning state cup or something stupid that doesn't mean anything.
We're kind of like bitter about like state cup, ECL and everything. We're not bitter about it. I'm just always nobody's gonna care in like 5 years if you won, you know. Although I rub it into Julie Foudy's face all the time whenever I see it, but from when we were in high school. But yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of things that can play into that. But I mean, I think at the bottom line, like players and their coaches really need to be looking out for how do I continue to put myself in an environment that I develop, and that there are things that can be barriers to that. Obviously, like soccer in this country is not always the least expensive sport. There are economic barriers that can come in there, or depending on the area that you live, there are travel barriers that might happen that you might not be going to that next club that is better. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I think you as a player want to be putting yourself in the most competitive environment that you possibly can, because we don't grow when we're comfortable. We grow when we're just outside of our comfort zones. And I mean, for some goalkeepers, that might mean leaving a team that you are playing every minute for to going to a place that you might need to share that time and you might need to learn how to compete. But I mean, everybody on this call knows none of us have ever been the only person on the teams that mattered most to us. And I mean, you've always had to find ways to either rock your role, compete, or figure it out.
Yes, that we've definitely all been in that position. Some of us at a higher level than others, but we've all definitely
still been there.
Oh man. So here's something really cool right here. And I want to share this. And obviously we're very excited about this, Amy, is that it says one important thing to do ASAP. You will need to download the Union app, every player and parent, as this will be the way that we correspond before, during, and after camp. This is a conversation that obviously yourself, myself, Todd, you know, and Saskia had, you know, prior a few months back in regards to this. Why did your camp choose to go this direction to streamline the communication process?
Well, you know, it's something that we've never offered before, like having that app feature at camp. But honestly, like we know that kids are on these all the time. this is what they want. Like, and the ability for them to have organization in their hands and that content in their hands, I think is going to be really helpful throughout the course of camp, just so that we can all be on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I want to kind of go back here.
And
so
also,
like,
I mean, even for the parents, like, you know,
oh yeah, absolutely,
because they're not there. So you know, to have access to that and know whether even it's like videos getting posted or something like that, but just to see what's going on daily and have it in your hand as a parent is huge.
Absolutely. And I think that was one of the things that Todd and I had talked about, of the ability to provide like a product for the parents away from camp, I think is just a great thing. And then honestly, to even have that community following camp that they can look back on and say, okay, I did this. Well, I can go recreate that with my coach or with my friends or with my parents in the backyard so I can continue to train. Yeah.
So walk us through a little bit of here. So obviously, you know, what you're doing, and, you know, it's pretty awesome, you know, and obviously I think, and, you know, Camp Shutout's doing this as well too. So we're very excited to have both of you on board. And, you know, if Todd didn't have such a great relationship with Stan, you know, I would be weary of sharing the two, but this is like not a Coke Pepsi thing. This is more of like a, you know, Pepsi and Pepsi perfect. Is that still a thing? Does that still exist? Pepsi.
I don't know, but I'm a Coke person, so.
Okay. I'm
well, I'm not a soda person, really.
Coke and Coke Classic. How about that? Okay. So there you go. But both you guys are doing this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one great thing is, especially through you, Michael, we were able to connect Jameson, who's building Camp Shutout's version of this, and me, to be able to bounce ideas off of each other, because we are not competing with each other. Like, this is a goalkeeping union. Like, I mean, Todd loves and has raved about the things that he saw at Camp Shutout, and we've implemented some of that. And I think Stan is also like doing the same kind of thing on the other side of it, that he sees things that we're doing, and it's like, oh yeah, like let's implement that. Like, we can learn and grow from each other, I think. So the cool part about this is, like, Camp Shutouts, I know, it's going to have like a different feel as well. So if somebody were to go to even both of our camps, it's going to look different. But what we did here is, you can see all the way on the left, that's like what the Union app would normally look like, without any type of geofencing on it. But our entire camp, Currently it's geofenced pretty much to my house so that I can see this thing get built. But it will eventually be built to the F&M campus. And I mean, that within a certain radius of there, you can see that's the back end that it has been fenced in some areas to Franklin and Marshall and Lancaster. But it's going to have that geofence. So as soon as our camp players and staff and staff and parents are arriving on campus, their phones are going to change when they go into the Union app so that everything at their fingertips is camp related. I mean, they can still get to any other part of the app, but they're going to have our camp schedule. They're going to have a way to communicate with the camp. They're going to have the opportunity to see our session plans, and they're going to be like time released so that about an hour and a half before the upcoming session, they get that session plan so that they can mentally prepare as well. And during the sessions, one of my jobs is going to be to like video stuff. So that way, not only is there a session plan, but there's videos to go along with it while Todd's doing the demos.
This is so awesome. And I just think back to like doing UCLA camps and stuff and just like the phone calls. Parents didn't know where the fields were. They didn't know this, or they didn't know the session plans or the schedules. And they, you know, have to go back into emails, and to have everything at your fingertips, period, is just, it's so incredible.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's putting tears in my eyes because this was honestly Suski and I's kind of, you know, vision when this whole project kind of came about, was not only just for the individual to be able to be empowered and have an opportunity and a place for them to share their own content and engage with people that are like-minded, but organizations to be able to build, to showcase their communities and expand on their communities and have the ability to solve a problem, which is a lack of communication between parents, players, and coaches, because they really are on an island. And if you can year round keep them engaged away from just that week in camp, it's just going to be so much more powerful the next year at camp.
Yeah, I think creating that community is really cool. And especially in this age of having cell phones, information at our fingertips, but even just like social media is tough sometimes, like to find like exactly what you want in the community that you want on social media, I think is really tough. This, I think, allows that group of people to stay connected and then also find like-minded people, because like they're going to see the other people that are posting on the Union away from the camp setting. But yes, I have to echo what Todd said. We're so thankful for this.
Like, I know I'm all teary too, Mike.
Yeah. It's so cool to see it, because it's so cool to see it as opposed to just, you know, the concept, actually to see it in person, like on the screen. It's kind of like, you know, the first time you see a t-shirt that you made, and then all of a sudden you see it in this, you see it like, you know,
no,
coming that you're
I'm
taking
so
to
excited.
Convention. Let's walk through the functionality a little bit, Amy. So what did you set up here on the landing page to make things easy for the parents and the players?
So again, you're going to have just a quick, the session plans are all going to be in one spot. They can click that and it'll just populate. So it'll go kind of reverse chronologically, like the oldest are going to be at the bottom eventually. But they can kind of build from there that the session plans are going to go in our schedule. I mean, you can see all the way on the right, if you click the schedule, this is what it kind of looks like, that you can click on each of those days. And I should have sent a screenshot of actually what that looks like too, but it breaks down each of those times. And one of the things that, like, I know from working camps for so long, we could easily go in on the back end. And if we know that like Tuesday's schedule is going to be slightly altered because, hey, we got this great classroom session, but they can't do it at 9 o'clock at night, we might need to do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We can quickly build that in and they're going to get a push notification that all of a sudden this has changed a little bit. So, and then obviously, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, you know, one thing I like about you having session plans up front on the left-hand side like that, and Suski, you know, tell me if you agree with this. How many times, Suski, have you been running a camp or helping out with a camp, and there's a young assistant there who has to take over because so-and-so's, you know, kid got sick and they had to go pick them up from their day camp or whatever, or they had a dentist appointment or something like that, and this poor young college player doesn't know what to do with these kids.
Right.
But now they can just click here on the session plans.
Right. And they'll know how the field has to be set up, where the goals need to be, where the cones need to be, like, you know, how many balls, like everything like that. It's huge. And then it just creates a more professional environment. You're not scrambling while the kids are walking out to the field saying, oh, what's this session? Or, you know, and you already have the map of it for the workers, for people that are working there. And then also the kids know what they're walking, they're getting prepared for mentally. They know what they're doing today. You know, are we doing breakaways? Are we doing crosses in this session? Hey, you know, it's right here. This is what we're doing. So I'm prepared mentally. I know what's going on today.
For the parents here, I'm just looking here. Amy, you've just done such a fantastic job. And I know this is just the prototype. I know this isn't even the final version from a graphic standpoint, but this is already incredible. I mean, like important contact numbers, like parents.
Oh, that's huge.
There's no excuse now. No excuse. Literally right there.
I think that's the college coach in me coming out of like making sure that we have, like, for example, Todd's cell phone numbers in there that you can just click and hold on and it's going to pull up. Like, do you want to call this number? But then also like campus security, which thankfully is like attached to our dorm. Like, so if somebody locks themselves out, they literally can just walk around the corner. But campus security, you want to be able to get in touch with those numbers right away. Not that anything's going to happen. Lancaster is very safe. But again, if a key were to break, if you were to lock yourselves out, you don't want a kid just sitting in the hallway, like wondering what to do.
Right.
And by the way, for anybody out
happens.
There who's, oh yeah.
That's if the college coach. It happens.
If anybody out there's, you know, listening or watching, you know, watching the podcast right now and you're going, oh, well, this is all great and good for those of you who have, you know, who are involved in the union, reach out to us. The app's out there in the store. And if you're interested in your organization doing this as well too, you can do the exact same thing. And we're all a community here. Amy will help you. You know, Jameson will help you. You know, we're all here to help each other to try to improve the process for everybody. And that's why this episode's called Camp Preparation, not look how awesome Amy's union app is. You know, I mean, like that. but it's true though. I want to talk about, you know, classroom sessions, because this is something that I think it's really cool that you all do at One-on-One Soccer. And I think it's something that came about through COVID, right?
No, classroom sessions have been around long time for us. Classroom sessions have always been like a nightly thing that at the end of a day, we would go in and discuss the chalkboard type of stuff. So it might be anything from positioning and like how to set up walls in terms of the theory behind it, all the way through, like it used to be the college recruiting process. Like all the college coaches would stand up and talk about like all of that. But I think one of the cool things that Todd being at RSL, we actually started FaceTiming a lot of what we would FaceTime with him while we were at camp. But then we would also FaceTime in some other people of his contacts to talk about their experiences in the goalkeeping world or working with goalkeepers or as an assistant coach or whatever it might be. COVID then just sparked a whole new thing that, I mean, we're on Zooms several times throughout the course of the week with MLS goalkeepers. I mean, I think we're trying to work out that Saskia, you can be with us for a little bit of one of those sessions. And we're really excited to have you in to talk about your experiences as well. But just different things and different thoughts that can prepare goalkeepers for the things that they're going to see and just put different thought processes in their head.
You know, Saskia, I think, and I love the fact that you just brought up, you know, Saskia sharing her experiences, because that's always puts a smile, not only on her face, but our face, you know, because there is so much that you can learn from people who've been at that level and seen all the different things at all the different levels. But, you know, the classroom session, I think, is a lot of times lost at camps, Saskia, and it's so important that it's because we had it last week with Dr. Ryan Carr. You know, most of it's in between the ears. It's not on the field.
You have to, because, you know, it's also teaching those young players how to learn off the field, how to analyze video and how to look for certain things and see the bigger picture. It's not just about goalkeeper wars. It's not just about, you know, it's in the classroom. I mean, because it's such a huge part of any next level that you're going to is analyzing video, doing all of that, like sitting with your coach and breaking things down. So they're so important. And then also the questions you want to ask, if it is a classroom session about the recruiting process and stuff like that. And now you have a place once, you know, you do this at camp, the kids leave and they're like, maybe they took some notes. you know, I'm old. I take notes on paper. Maybe they took some notes and they might not remember and they can't really reiterate it to their parents, what they learned in a classroom session. Well, now it's right here.
And I love
that's
that.
Huge.
So Amy, so those classes, so the thing is when it's on there, after the classroom session's done, it's going to stay live in that area, right? So parents can just click on it and they can watch it themselves.
Yeah, that's the plan. And honestly, like we were just talking about it today of making sure that it's available so that if parents want to jump in during the course of the day while it's actually live too, so that they can kind of be on them, because a lot of them in our schedule might be scheduled at night. But again, that's all scheduled to change based on when our guest speakers can come and kind of meet with us. But we want the parents to be involved in that experience. But yes, I think we're going to be recording them so that way that both the players and the parents can go back and watch them later.
And that'll just be available in the one-on-one community.
When am I scheduled?
I have no idea yet.
I'll be waiting for the email. I'm there.
I want to say this right here. You know, with the classroom session thing here too, Amy. I believe you brought up the fact that, as opposed to just the players, and this is something that you had all had come up with, you know, prior to the union. So I don't want to, you know, us to take credit for it. But as opposed to the players having to go into a room after they're exhausted, after they've been training all day and they're falling asleep and, you know, they've got their notepad, you're allowing them to tune in remotely from their dorm rooms, right?
Absolutely. So that was something that we had last year, that we just put like a QR code or a link into the group chat or around the camp or around the dorm so that they could just scan it and hop on to the chats. But I think it's so important, especially if these classroom sessions are happening between the sessions, because that recovery is still so important for them to be able to like lay down and be in their beds with their feet up and not having to like really be focused in terms of sitting in a classroom style. We want them to be able to recover between those sessions and maximize those efforts as well.
That's huge.
I like the fact that the parents can chime in because of doing it virtually like that now, as opposed to, you know, as we all know, you know, and Saskia always brings this up, you know, kids take things literal. So they'll come home and be like, hey, the college coach told me that blah, blah, blah is what you need to do. And the parent goes like, okay, well, that's what I have to do. But they might have misunderstood, or it might have been out of context, you know, like now the parent, you know, really is able to fill in and be there and engage too and be involved.
Well, it's also a learning curve for them. I mean, like not all the parents understand how to set a wall, or understand why it's done a certain way. And, you know, if you're relying on a 12-year-old kid to try to explain it to you, or not sure where to get the proper, you know, you can sit here and be like, hey, they're going over walls. This is something I do not understand or understand how my kid's supposed to do this. So let me jump in and watch this session, because this will teach me as well.
I want to ask this, Amy, you know, because, you know, we brought up earlier, you know, young assistants, you know, college players, you know, coming into camp. How important is it that they're familiar with all of this throughout the week? So when kids come up and ask questions and everything like that, are you going to do some sort of orientation for the staff as well too?
Yep. We have a staff call even before we have our pre-camp Zoom that we get everybody together and kind of meet each other virtually. I mean, most of us know each other because of just doing things year after year. But it is important for us to get on for us to talk about, like, again, I think the philosophy and what we want to accomplish out of camp. But yep, them being familiar with this so that if their group is having trouble with it, I mean, I know I'm going to be around the entirety of camp, especially that first day, to make sure that people are on it and understanding it. But it's really making sure that, I mean, everybody's kind of on it, but especially our staff. Like, this is such key stuff for them as well. And I mean, obviously you can see it's for the web as well, that you can, we have the filters, the subtopics in there. So we tried to keep it a little bit cleaner, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really is amazing. You know, I mean, you know, Saskia, one thing that
I feel like this is switched. I feel like you created the union app and I'm sitting here.
I know.
I'm like, hey, this is a really cool app. Maybe I should sign up for it.
Yeah. Amy, can you tell us where we can download this? Because this seems better than the one that we came up with. So.
Nope. Man, I'm still learning. Sorry, guys.
That's funny.
I want to talk about this here because, you know, you talked about being, you know, the staff being on the same page, you know, and obviously something like a camp chat, I think, is really, really important when you're doing, and regardless of whether they have a union app or you're doing WhatsApp or whatever type of a thing, you know, how do you all, you know, do that, you know, first off now with the app and then prior before so that, you know, everyone is always, you know, connected, because I think that's one of the biggest issues a lot of times at a camp, especially when you have a lot of kids, is that so-and-so never got a message. And so now there's, you know, seven kids at a field with no coach and there's two coaches at field four because no one knew about the switch or something like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, a camp chat is definitely like, that's probably the most important thing, because that way, if there are little changes that need to happen, it goes out to everybody. To be completely and utterly honest, that's still part of what we're working on, of trying to figure out how to make that completely happen through the union. But we do have a fail safe that we can have that linked, that goes directly to a GroupMe as well. So that if I can't make it happen, that we can message the entire, like direct message the entire camp group, we'd be able to kind of do that through GroupMe, but it would still, like, that link is active, that every single player and every single parent, boom, click it, and all of a sudden they're into that group. It's not something that they've got to request permission. They just get to see it.
You know, I think that's really, really, really important, is that everybody can communicate with each other whenever they want. I also personally like the fact that, like, you know, if there's any sort of an emergency, you don't have to be scrambling, looking for 17 different tech, you know, phone numbers or Instagram handles or something.
Look at stuff like the weather, like something like huge like that, you know, like where, okay, massive thunderstorm coming in. Where are we putting everybody? Where is everybody going? And to have to scramble at a camp and text all these different people or try to get into the group and somebody got missed out and everything. It's huge. The communication.
There's one kid just sitting on the field by
under a tree. Like,
everyone else is having lunch inside an auditorium and there's just one kid by themselves on the field. You know, we don't definitely want that. Which also is also why I think it's very important for anybody out there listening, regardless, again, whether you're using this app or whether you're doing things on your own, is that you have some sort of map that parents and players and staff have prior. So there's no questions. Where's the cafeteria? I don't know how to get the library, yada, 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 yada. And, you know, and obviously you all did it here on the landing page right here. So just kind of, you know, really quickly, and I know we're starting to run out of time here, just kind of break down how you put together a map.
Like the campus map?
Yeah.
You know, F&M did a great job on their website of just kind of having that there for us. But at the same time, like, it's one of those things that, yep, we're going to be able to kind of hone in on that and be able to circle and star those things that we really need the campers to know, like which dorm is ours, where are you checking in at, where, like, the field is across the street. We're going to be using their turf. So the field is across the street. So, like, from there, how do you get back to where we're going? And if there were to be a weather problem, where exactly are we going? I think is also in the summer really important for us to have.
Yeah.
Man, I never even thought about that because we don't have weather here in the summer. So we're not used to
that. Don't jinx stuff, man. We just got out of 4 months of rain.
Okay. I mean, speaking of, well, I mean, Sus, you get enough weather as it is going to Florida every weekend for NWSL. So you get plenty of that. You know, as we start wrapping up right here, Amy, I want to tell a little bit about training group layout. What do you mean by that, and why is that something that you guys decided to put up on the landing page?
Yeah, so the field map, like the training group layout, and we talked about that a little bit before. We have this year, it's nearly 130 campers, if not a little bit more. But we have them split into training groups that are about 8 each group. So there's one coach, 8 players. So it's small enough. We've got all the goals around the turf. So if you have that green screen that has all the black lines on it with the names that I had sent over, like that's exactly how the field is going to be laid out. So each session the campers are going to know what coach they were with. And so the names that are on that kind of map and that layout, that's where the coaches are going to be. So that's the field, or that's the goal that they go to immediately upon arriving to the turf. Like, that's where they're going to be training for the day. And again, we might be shifting them left or right, depending on their level, how their attitude, their energy might be during the course of those sessions. Then they're going to have to keep track of, well, what coach did I end the session with? And unless I was told differently, like, that's where I'm going. But that way they all know, I'm not wondering what goal am I showing up to.
And that happens all the time. You got kids wandering around, but, well, I was over here, and am I with who and what, and coach is going where? And like, it's huge. It's so organized. It's awesome. I'm coming to camp.
Oh my gosh, I love the, you know, the way you just said that. Says, well, you are coming to camp. You're going to be there virtually, so
I will.
So you will be coming to camp. Last thing, kind of, Amy, as we kind of, you know, break down, and obviously, you know, thanks for putting together all those clips and stuff for us. That, you know, that's really, really helpful to get the visual images of what we're seeing, you know, right here. What's kind of like your advice for parents, you know, kind of as we wrap up here, you know, like the day of camp, like what do the kids need to have with them? What should they expect from camp? What do parents need to be doing while camp is taking place? Because that you don't want them calling every 10 seconds to see what's going on with this, what's going on with that. So how do you keep them engaged, and how do you keep the kids prepared?
Make sure you pump your ball.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the first thing is just making sure that it's not something that you're putting together last minute. Like, you want to be the day before, you want to have everything prepped and ready to go. Maybe the list of things you need to grab that morning. And then make sure that you're on time. On time is not an hour too early. Like, I mean, early is good, like being there, like ready to check in when check-in starts. You don't want to get there 2 hours before, because I mean, that happens every year. You've got a family that is at camp 2 hours before, and we're still like trying to get things ready to go, and where we might not be able to even have the keys at that point yet. But get there when check-in starts, be ready to check in, especially because our check-in windows this year is about an hour. I know a lot of camps want to streamline that check-in process as much as humanly possible. So pack light. Like, you don't need to bring the entire dorm room full of stuff. You're there for a couple days. So really be smart about what you're bringing. But then at the end of the day, make sure that everybody's ready to have a lot of fun and learn. Like, that I think is the biggest thing. Like, you're not just coming to camp with a like downtrodden thing just to get rid of your kids for a week or whatever. You really are putting them there for that they can learn. I'm hopeful that the parents will check in with their kids every single day to see what they've learned, and maybe phrase it that way. Like, not how's it going, or like listen to all those complaints, but like, what did you learn today? And I think being able to attack things in that way and keep them engaged in that way is the best thing that parents can do for their goalkeepers throughout the course of the week. And yeah, if something is really, maybe they're feeling that they might've been moved unfairly, advocate to them to go and talk to their staff and ask questions.
I think that's massive, because I think, you know, a lot of the times players, you know, they're so unwilling to talk to the coaches, and then they just internalize everything, or they just talk trash behind the back, you know, complaining the whole time that they're in group X and they really should have been in group blah, 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 or whatever. And if they had just asked a question, you know, because a lot of times there might be a misidentification the first day, right, Amy? That could happen.
Sure. Absolutely. Because I mean, your staff are human too. Like, we're looking at it. We're trying to make sure that we're putting people in the best places, but maybe someone didn't have the greatest first session and they got moved, or they didn't get moved. And all of a sudden, like, so I think like, please, as parents, like, take a breath and trust that we really genuinely want the best for everybody that's at our camps. I think that's true of every coach everywhere, honestly, mm-hmm. is that we really genuinely want to help people develop. We're not trying to upset anybody, but we are trying to provide an environment that is going to be competitive, and not competitive like me versus you. Competitive me with you, like in the true mm-hmm. Latin form of that word, like me with you to get better. There's your English lesson for the day.
I like that. All right.
I love that. Suskin, anything you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I'm good. I'm excited. Wow.
We're very excited for this. Well, Amy, obviously, obviously, thank you, for yourself for taking all the time to come on the podcast and everything. And obviously, thank to yourself and Todd for, having one-on-one soccer on board with the union project. And if people want to connect with you directly on the union, what's your handle on there?
It's A Huff. So A, my last name, and then 009.
That makes it very, very, very simple. 009. I love it. And obviously, guys, if you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, or you want to reach out to us and find out how your organization can use the Union app for their own projects as well, too, you can reach out to us at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union, or you can reach out to Saskia at Saskia, just like Madonna on the Union. Or if you want to reach out to me outside of, or Bono.
She's
I don't
like
know.
In the hospital right now. She's out.
What a terrible choice. Oh,
could have been
gosh.
Like Rihanna. It could have been like
A Beyonce.
Beyonce. I mean,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Exactly.
There's a lot of other choices that I could have done right over there. All right, guys. Well, we're excited about this. Check out if people want to know more about one-on-one, where do they go?
To oneononegoalkeeping.com.
Oneononegoalkeeping.com. Awesome, guys. Excited for this, guys. That is all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.